John chapter 1 in your Bibles this morning. John chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, old John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" And they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, "a stone." The day following, Jesus would go up forth unto Galilee, and he findeth Philip, and he saith unto him, "Follow me." 100 years ago, 1,500 people died in the North Atlantic. The Titanic has always been a frightening fascination to us. In reality, when the ship was sinking with all the attendant horrors, I wonder what was going on in the minds of those people who could have made a difference and didn't. You know the direction I'm going. As the over 1,500 people were sinking to their death, husbands and wives holding each other, children and the elderly, the orchestra still playing, "Nearer, my God, to thee." I wonder, what was their guilt? It must have been overwhelming. It certainly should have been. I suspect their key thought was, "This should not have happened. It could have been avoided. I could have done something to keep this from happening." The great shame of the entire story is that no one who had the authority to turn the situation around was willing or informed or concerned enough to act. A captain who was warned, a designer who was in a hurry, the owners wanting headlines, a whole tragedy of errors predicated by pride and greed and arrogance, ego had clouded judgment, and 1,500 people died. Jesus Christ came into a sea of people. We are all standing metaphorically on the deck of the Titanic. We are all destined to die, and after that we spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. God loved this world and sent his Son to make a difference. He died to give us life, to provide a lifeboat that works throughout eternity from the penalty of our sin. But too often, We are like the passengers on the Titanic. Life and the party goes on with no imminent danger, ignoring that this earth is just temporary for all of us. Your church, the body of Christ, is placed here in the middle of this world, has several responsibilities. First of all, we are responsible to be a family. We are to teach the Word of God to that family and to our guests. We are to rejoice together. We are to weep together. We are to love each other. Love in spite of our faults, because none of us are perfect. We are to support the church. We are to pray together. We are to share our faith with others. We are to warn them of a terrible place called hell. The seriousness of that is given in an Old Testament passage. I want you to go with me to Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. And we'll begin reading in verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest them not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet, if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. I try to preach strong and straight to you, dear people, because of the urgency of the situation. There's three things that put me under urgency and you under urgency this morning. First of all, because of the frailty of life. The Titanic seemed so unsinkable, 900 feet long. It was an immense crown jewel of the sea, but it was sinkable, and so are we. Every obituary, every funeral home, every cemetery, all say to us that we are frail. As we get older, our bodies tell us that we are frail. Dustin Hoffman, Academy Award-winning actor, has already written his epitaph on his tombstone. Here it is. I knew this was going to happen. And you know what? He's right. The Word of God is very plain on this issue. Go with me to James chapter 4, please. James chapter 4. And we'll begin reading in verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue thou a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Middle age arrived for me a lot quicker than I thought, and I guarantee you, old age followed very quickly right behind that. It was quite a shock to my system when I realized I was too old to die young. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, David said this, "There is but a step between me and death." And that was true of David, and that's true of every one of us. In Proverbs chapter 27, Solomon said, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day shall bring forth." Andrew is the hero in the text that we read at the beginning. Three times he is mentioned in Scripture. Each time he is bringing someone to Christ. There is urgency in the text that we read because the Bible says he first findeth his brother. More than anything, he first findeth him. Andrew's a busy man. He has a family. He has a job. He's just trying to keep it all together. But his brother meant something to him. And the Bible says he first findeth his brother Peter. He was willing to put forth the effort to bring his brother and Christ together. And there needs to be a sense of urgency to us. Sudden death, like the Titanic, puts us in such a bind. We brought Tina's cousin to our prayer group. He was doing just fine, and then just in a couple of days, he got COVID and died in the hospital. He was quite a bit younger than me. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, Cindy, her world has just changed. Second of all, the judgment has an impact on me to get some things done. The fact that 1,500 people drowned on the Titanic is not the most important thing. The most important thing was their relationship to God. Once you die, it doesn't matter that you were a John Jacob Astor or a Molly Brown or a kitchen helper. It doesn't make any difference. It only matters what you have done with Jesus Christ. Nothing else matters. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible says, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment." And let me remind you of something. Dying's the easy part. It's that judgment that follows for all eternity. That's the difficult part. I want you to go with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And look at verses 28 and 29. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Those are words from our Savior. And he is warning us. Amos said this, "Woe to you who put far off the day of doom." Last of all, the necessity of salvation. Back up a page or so in your Bible to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, our Lord said this in verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." It's important to know that was said to a man by the name of Nicodemus. He was a very good man. He was a moral man. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a good husband. He was a good father. Had Jesus said that to the woman taken in the very act of adultery, "Ye must be born again," we would reason in our hearts, sure, she needs to be born again. Look at her. Or the woman at the well who had five husbands and living with a man that was not her husband at the time. Or the maniac of Gadara living in the graveyard, running around naked and screaming, demon-possessed. We would reason, we are not like them. But Nicodemus was a pillar in the community, respected and liked. And Christ said to that individual, "To get to heaven, ye must be born again." Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again." Let's skip down to John chapter 3 and verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for your willingness to send your dear Son to go to the cross for us. Dear Jesus, thank you for your willingness to walk that lonesome road to the top of Golgotha's hill and stretch forth your hands and have them nailed in your feet, nailed to the cross. And that cross being raised and dropped into the hole. And there you would die for us. Oh, Father, thank you. Dear Father, if there's someone here this morning that's never been saved, may today be that day of salvation. May they understand that God so loved the world, and they can put their name in there. God so loved them that if they would accept your Son, that you would give to them eternal life. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. And dear Father, if we would simply have enough faith as a grain of mustard seed, we can be born again. So dear Father, please speak to hearts, to the members of this church. We have a responsibility to get the sweetest story that's ever been told out to a lost and dying world. Father, help us to do it. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.